Amen. But I want you to put your hands together. Welcome, First Lady Martina Garza.
Partake of, Heavenly Father, and let us be of your word, but doers of your word, Heavenly Father, that we may apply it to our lives and be the ambassadors that you have called us to be. Holy Ghost, use me, for I am nothing without you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to his name.
Yes.
I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your concerns. I am still under the weather, so I am still asking that you continue to pray for me.
Amen.
And have patience on me on this day. God is great. And greatly to be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. So, the title of this message we're going to say is Stay Plugged In. Stay plugged in. No matter what you're going through, stay plugged in. So, there are some things that come about when you're being plugged in. We have trials. Those are the things that come upon us, our trials, throughout our life. And there's those temptations, those things that come up in us.
Yeah, man.
Those temptations. And then you have wisdom, the earthly wisdom and the heavenly wisdom. You have to know the difference. So, throughout your trials and your temptations, and using some wisdom, we all going to stay plugged in.
Amen.
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 Give Lord a hand clap of praise. Lord, we're going to stay plugged in. So, the things that come upon us are trials. This is what James is talking about. In verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy. Whatever you're going through, everything, your trials, on the job, at home, with your significant other, with your spouse, with your children, everything that you're going through, that is your trial. We're all going through it. And James, Jesus' big brother, he learned that because he saw what Jesus was going through. All of the trials that he had endured. Friends talked about him. Friends betrayed him. Gave him up. But he still stayed plugged in. Let's take it back. The Israelites. Long as they were in captivity, that was their trial because it was what had came upon them. That was the trial. And all Moses was supposed to do was to make sure that they stayed plugged in. Now, the Israelites couldn't see staying plugged in themselves. They used Moses. Moses was the extension cord. How some of us feel the people in our lives are extension cords. We don't want to be plugged into the source ourselves. We're going to use the extension cord. Pastor. Elders. Those, some people see them as, uses us as extension cords. But as Pastor always said, you have to know the word for yourself. You have to have your own relationship with the Lord yourself. That's staying plugged in. The Israelites used Moses as an extension cord. They didn't want to go before God themselves because they had too much going on themselves. But it was their trial that God wanted them to see that you need to be plugged into me.
Right.
He delivered them out of Pharaoh's hand. That was the trial that they was going through. And he said, and he told them, stay plugged into me. I am your power source. Stay plugged into me. Unfortunately, they would rather have that extension cord. That means they don't have much accountability. I don't want to be too accountable for too much. So I'm going to use that extension cord. You know how we feel as though we got so much stuff going on in our lives?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that extension cord, and you notice how they have upgraded the extension cords now. They're called power strips. Okay? The extension cord used to be a three-prong. You got two on one side and one on the other side, right? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's the extension cord. Now you got a power source, a strip. Five or six of them you can be plugged into. But you know, the more of that extension cord that you use, the less power you're going to have from somewhere. Stop using the extension cord. Get plugged in yourself. Some people usurp other people.
Yeah.
I don't want to be held accountable. So would you go before me? That's what we do as born again believers. The trials that we go through, we are still to be plugged in to Him. You still got to be plugged into the Word. You still going to be plugged into God. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Now, those are your trials. Now, James says this. He says, these are the trials that you go through. He said, count it all joy. In everything that you go through, you count it all joy. Because if Jesus went through it, guess what? You can too. That's what we have to keep in our minds. He came down here to show us the way. This is how you get through this. This is how you overcome this trial. This is how you overcome this adversity. Patience. Although Pastor don't like it. You have to have patience.
Yeah.
And I say that because I lack patience. And it shows. You know how it showed? Because I was always getting mad. Because I ain't had no patience.
That's right.
I'm always getting mad about what somebody else did. Or what somebody else didn't do. Or what somebody, I thought somebody should have did. You know, doggone well you should have did that. I don't have no patience. Because I felt as though, because where I am, everybody else should be where I am. Right? So your lack of patience shows when you get upset because somebody is not where you are. But James says you have to have patience in your trials. This is what he said. Patience in your trials. And so I was like, okay. So my girlfriend is not where I am. Okay, I get that now. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. But I'm not where I used to be. And we have to keep that in mind.
That's right.
You're not where you're supposed to be. But glory be to God, you're not where you used to be. And that's where patience comes in at. Because you see somebody that is not where you think they're supposed to be. But God has them where they are.
That's right.
And guess what? That's how all of us build our patience. That's how God is working the patience within us. Because you have to have patience for wherever everybody is in your life,
yeah,
in your circle.
Right.
And trust and believe. When you get some of that patience, some of them headaches will go away. They will. Because, and I'm going to tell this story. Pastor, can I tell this story?
Oh,
shoot. Let me tell this story real quick. Pastor and I had just started dating. And Pastor is so helpful. So helpful. But this is where the Holy Ghost showed me, girl, you got some patience now. Because as Pastor came over, I think I was at work, but Pastor and our son Malcolm, they were fixing up some stuff at home. And so they were in the bathroom, were changing the that stuff down in there. Right. Well, he fixed it on the inside, he turned the water off, and then he turned the water back on, but the water went everywhere in the bathroom. Even went down to the basement. So when I walked in the door, Pastor on the floor like this, trying to turn off the valve, and he said, I tried to turn it off, but the water is still not turning off. So I was like, okay. I went downstairs and I turned it off from the basement, went back upstairs, and Pastor, he fixed it. But that's what taught me, and now this is the beginning of our courtship. And I was like, Lord, because I remember a time I would have came home and like, who told you to go down there and fix that toilet and you not a plumber? Who told you to do that? And that is the blessing right then and there, that moment. Because I went downstairs smiling and I was like, thank you, Lord. The Holy Ghost said he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to help me. But that was the love in his heart, wanted to help me. And that showed me that is my patience coming through.
Yeah.
What I have been praying for. I have been praying for patience. And the Holy Ghost showed me, you got some patience, girl. Whoo, thank you, Lord. But I think, and that is what I'm talking about. Pastor, we're still praying for Pastor's patience.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. But he's getting better because I say, no, honey. But see, everybody, and as I tell you, and this is what James is telling us. Now, understand something. James, Jesus' big brother, he was really talking to the Jews. Because this is the day of Acts when we're going into Pentecost. Jesus came and saw him after his resurrection. So he is one of the disciples. He wasn't a disciple, but he are one of the, we don't say apostles, who started out talking to the Jews because they had to have order.
Okay.
And the new church needed some order through the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
But guess what? This word resonates in us today because we are born again believers. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Amen.
Now, as you go through temptation, as James says, let no man, and I'm going to verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So, there is a correlation here and there's a contrast here. When they're talking about temptation here, it is the inner man. Your inner thoughts that come upon you, where you are knowing that you should not be thinking whatever you're thinking. Anything that you think, you say, or you do that's not pleasing to God is a sin. Anything that you say, think, or do. So it's not so much as an action, it's a thought. And you know what? That is how an action starts. It starts with the thought. So you're thinking it, next thing you know, you're going to be desiring it, and next thing you know, you're going to be doing it. That's your sin. Now in Genesis 22:1, Abraham, let's turn there real fast. Genesis chapter 22. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. God did tempt Abraham. Now, mind you, God, as he said, God doesn't tempt any man. But what he did here in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, is he wanted to prove that Abraham was doing what he's supposed to do. He didn't tempt him. He wanted to prove him that he was doing exactly what he would have him to do. God is not going to tempt you. So anybody that said, the Lord, I don't know why the Lord made me do that. The Lord don't make you do nothing. Jesus is a gentleman. Remember I said that. He is a gentleman. And he is not going to tempt you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, you are not to be, so your lust, anything that you have within you is going to come out of you.
Yeah.
Right, Pastor? Anything that's in a man is going to come out of man.
Amen.
So a man thinketh, so is he. Amen.
Amen.
So, our thoughts have to be stayed on the things of above. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Keep your thoughts vertical.
Amen.
And that will keep your relationship horizontal, lined up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, when you're going through your trials and your temptations, as James was telling you, the count it all joy of the things that you're going through, the things that come upon you. Let's go to chapter 5. Let's not go to chapter 5. I want you to write this down. Chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. There are some things that you have to do as born again believers. So if you're coming in all joy in your trials and your tribulations, you still have to exercise patience. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, temptation, these things that come upon you. Chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. I want you to write this scripture down. Chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. You cannot go through anything by yourself. You have got to humble yourself. You're not haughty. Don't have that haughty spirit. And guess what? That falls into temptation. That haughty spirit. So I am a born-again believer. And you just came to church today. So I'm going to sit down and look at you. Look at her over there. She just came into church today. You know, no doggone well, the Lord ain't going to bless her. Cut it out. Cut it out. None of us are but a prayer away. We are but a prayer away from addiction. We are but a prayer away from homelessness. We are a prayer away from joblessness. We are a prayer away from lifelessness. So don't be haughty. Nobody is better than nobody. And if Jesus came down here to serve you, why aren't you serving your brother? We have to serve one another. And this is what James is telling us. Humble yourself. Chapter 4, 6 through 10. Double-minded. Double-mindedness. And then, I want you to go back. Did y'all write that down?
Yeah.
Chapter 1, 13 through 15. Okay. Then it referenced over to chapter 4, 6 through 10. And then I want you to go back to chapter 1, 6 through 8. Because that ties in one after the other. Amen?
Amen.
Write that down?
Yeah.
All right. Help me, Lord. It says, chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So, in all of our haughtiness, know that anything, while we high on the hog, he going to bring you back down. He will do that.
Yep.
Yes. Anytime that you think you riding high, and you are not giving the Lord his glory and his honor, he's going to bring you back down. Be it your finances, health, anybody around you. He going to bring you back down. He going to bring it into remembrance.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But see, if we stay plugged in to him, we don't have to worry about being haughty and being brought back down. Because why? We have a sense of humility.
Yes.
Staying plugged into Christ is your humility.
Yeah.
You don't have time to be haughty. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, we have to exercise some wisdom when we're going through. Whether it's someone caused it, our trials, or we caused it, our temptations.
Right.
Wisdom. Do you know the difference? Well, let's see, says James. James, chapter 1, verse 5. Wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. That means he's not going to charge you. He's going to give it to you freely.
Yeah.
Without reproach. That's what upbraideth means, without reproach. Lord, I need to discern. I need to discern what's of the earth and what's of heaven. And guess what? James tells you that. Go to, oh Lord Jesus. Go to chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Write that down. Write it down and I'm going to read it. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's your wisdom. That's the difference.
Yeah.
See, earthly wisdom, we have, we think we know everything.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is. We think we know everything.
Yeah.
And Pastor, he loves this commercial, the State Farm commercial. We know a lot because we've seen a lot.
Farmers,
thank you. But that's what some of our problem is. Because we've seen some things, we think we know everything. And understand something. There is experience, because experience is the best teacher. Okay? But there is some things that we experience that we don't know why we experience those things. And that's how you learn the wisdom from above and the wisdom from earth. To stay and plugged in. If I don't know why you're going through what you're going through, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless me with the wisdom of understanding. But if I think I know everything, I'm going to say, oh, he just wasn't eating right. That's why he's going through what he's going through. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That earthly wisdom. You think you know everything, and you don't. And that's what we have to, and that's what us staying plugged in to Christ does for us.
Yeah.
Is that as we're able to discern what is from above and what's on earth. And this is what James was telling the early Christians, and that's what he's telling us today. No matter the things that come upon you, the things that you are in you, the understanding that you have of God and God's word. Nothing that's done in this book has already been done that's not happening
right.
today.
Right.
Everything
right.
that's in this book, and you guys know how long this book been written, mm-hmm. is going on today.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's our instructions of what we're supposed to do, right?
Right.
Right. Stay plugged in. Stay plugged in. Stay plugged in. Stop using extension cords.
Mm-hmm.
Stop using extension cords. You get plugged in yourself.
Man.
That is your power source.
Right.
You plugged in.
Yeah.
Now, temptation. Let me go back. Because I jumped. Trials. Israelites were going through, right? Temptations. David was tempted with Bathsheba. And you saw what it brought about, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Wisdom. Paul said, and we're going to go there, and I'm just about done. Wisdom. Let's go to chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start with 11b to 13. It says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Wisdom. That's what Paul said. no matter what I'm going through, whether I created or somebody else created it for me, whether it's my trials or my temptations, I know that I can do all things through Christ. He's the one that's strengthening me. So guess what? If you are plugged in to the Word and to the Father, you can do all things. That means you can withstand your trials. And he's not talking about all the great things. You know, I can get this job. I can do all things that Christ is strengthening me. I can get this job. I can get this car. I can get this house. He's not talking about all of those things. He's talking about I can withstand the heartache.
Yeah.
I can withstand the backstab. I can withstand the trouble. I can withstand the envy. I can withstand the trials. I can withstand the temptation. I can withstand all of those things that come up against me. I can do all of those things. I can stand on his word and I can stand on his promise. Why? Because he's strengthening me. That is what Paul is talking about. That's the wisdom that we have to use to know. When you say that you can do all things through Christ with strengthening you, we're not talking about the good things. We're talking about all the bad things that come up on you. That's what Paul is talking about. Paul said, I know what it's like to be full. He's talking to the Philippians. He said, I know what it's like to be full. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to have a lot of money. I know what it's like to be poor. I know what it's like. I know where my help comes from. This is what he's saying. And where does your help come from? Your help coming from the Lord. So, when you, next time you say, I can do all things through Christ with strengthening me, make sure that you're saying it knowing, showing wisdom, and knowing that this person that's maliciously talking about me, this person that is maliciously trying to use me, this person that is my nemesis from way back when, I can do this. I can stand on his word. I can receive the gift of God that he has for me. Why? Because I'm staying plugged into him. Stay plugged in. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Your strength is increased. It's increased. It's increased in everything that you're going through. It's increased. It's increased. It's increased. It's increased. It's increased through Christ. We cannot do anything by ourselves. Amen? We are nothing by ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Through Christ. Yes. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yes. On your feet. Let us stand, please. Thank you for being with me today. I am in so much pain. Hallelujah. But I can do this because Christ strengthened me. Amen. Amen. My trial, my tribulation, my victory in him. Take someone by the hand.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, we give you praise, dear God, because in your word, Lord God, you were thinking about us.
Yes.
Lord God, and how you established your kingdom, Lord God, in your body. And instructions for us, Lord God. When we go through these trials, Lord God, when people afflict us, you said, because persecution is going to come, Lord God. When the evil one from within, Lord God, tries to rise up, Lord God. There's a wisdom that comes from above, Lord God, that's able to strengthen us and keep us.
Yes.
Lord God, every good gift, Lord God, every benefit, Lord God, comes down from you, Lord God, who does not turn from his word, Lord God. You are your word, Lord God, and you are life, and you are the truth. And Lord God, you are our establishment, you are our banner, Lord God, which we march behind, Lord God, that we come together as one, Lord God, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our temptations.
Yes,
and as we draw strength from you, Lord God, we pass that strength to others, Lord God, to let them know, Lord God, they may not be able to see Jesus, but they can see Jesus in us, Lord God. Lord God, that we might strike out, Lord God, and go forth, Lord God, and do the exploits that you would have us to do according to your word, Lord God, according to your instructions, Lord God, and by your instructions, Lord God, that we might overcome, Lord God, that we overcome by the word of God, by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, we're overcoming. We thank you that we're on top, Lord God, and not the bottom. We're in the front, not the back, Lord God. You placed us in front, Lord God, by your power and by your blessing, and we thank you for healing our bodies and strengthening our minds in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's offering time.
Amen. Amen.